Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out onto the road. I've got my El Guapo shirt underneath of my Raskin Global shirt here. Breaking it. I think I need a larger size. This thing shrunk a little bit on my El Guapo shirt underneath. We're going to pick one of those up on Thursday. We're going to be at El Guapo in Catonsville, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be letting ourselves play next week. And maybe this guy will be a part of that because he likes basketball. He's got his Ohio State thing on, still bleeding hard for the Buckeyes. Do a little March Madness on the 18th. That's next Friday. We're going to be doing the Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery at Costas Inn. And then on the 23rd, back to Fadley's in the morning down at Lexington Market. We'll get my first look at the new Lexington Market. Not open yet, but we're going to get a little tour 2 weeks from Wednesday. Busy month around here, and this guy's usually doing Ovechkin and hockey games and March Madnessing a little bit here and watching big fat guys run 40-yard dashes. Leonard Raskin manages money and follows the American dream at RaskinGlobal.com. You can find him there, usually somewhere where there's a crab cake. What's going on, man? I mean, no baseball, right? I mean, so this would be the time of year where we're following a box score in the afternoon from Bradenton and hoping people like you and me on our body clock. But that's all gone for this year.
Grapefruit League is on suspension, and it's sad. It's very sad. I was talking to a friend of mine this past weekend, and he said, you know, I'm really bummed. And I said, what's up? And he said, I'm just feeling like something's wrong in this season. Something's wrong. I said, what's that? He goes, baseball, man, no baseball. We were talking some Ravens. We were talking some past Super Bowl fun, but he said, you know, I'm a baseball guy and it's time and they're not playing. He goes, I can't stand these millionaires and billionaires fighting over what seems to be pennies, but it's ridiculous. I mean, what the heck? And now,
well, sometimes business is ugly, right? Like you manage people's money. And when Coca-Cola has to go in and decide whether they're going to pull out of Russia or stay in Russia. And, you know, I have a Toyota sponsorship. They hit me. They want no part of the war. Right. So like, there's business part of it, but in baseball, there are fans. There aren't fans of Coca-Cola. Maybe you drink it, maybe you buy it, maybe you love it, but it's different when it's sports and it's money. And once you get to be old like us, it's a way of life that these people fight over money. Whether it's the NFL, the NBA's had strikes, the NHL lost the season, baseball lost the World Series. We're both in our 50s now. We're used to this. Doesn't make it any easier or any better, but there is a point where there's a war going on. There's been a plague the last 2 years, but these guys are pretty out of touch with the reality of where their customers are.
We're the fan, right? Who's paying the bill? And I guess one of the things that it seems to show is that the bills are paid by the networks. The fans be damned. You can show up. You don't have to show up. We don't care if you show up. And, We'll get enough from the network checks to not worry about whether you come or not. And it just seems crazy to me.
You know, I don't usually show a lot of pictures on here, but since you're looking, I want to show you a really important picture in my life. I have not shared this in social media. It's the first time I'm sharing it. You see this picture here? Do you know what this picture is? This is a picture of me taking all three of my cable boxes back to Xfinity. And I cut the cord, Leonard. I cut the cord. Yep. I do not have cable TV anymore. I'm going to share that. And Luke reminded me this morning that I'm, for the first time in my life, not giving money to Peter Angelos. Or to Fox News. Or to MSNBC. Or to Food Network. And I watch the Food Network, right? I never watch Fox News. I rarely watch cable news, maybe a little CNN once in a while. But all of those channels that you pay for that you never watch, like your grandmother that never watches the Orioles was paying for Mass in all of these years, all of that money's now, I feel good about it. You always ask me to manage my money better, and you're on me about that and other people about how they do that. Cable TV is one of those things where they say, oh, you waste $4 a morning on a cup of coffee or whatever. Cable TV is one of those things where you were paying for stuff you were not using, for sure. And Masson's one of them right now.
No question. And it's just dreadful that they're doing this. And I saw a picture, I don't know if you posted it or somebody else posted it on a social media page, of a kid sitting in the stadium, empty stadium kind of.
It was me.
Yeah, I thought it was you. Just this poor kid just looking. You know, like, and that's the inner kid that's missing baseball. I'm ready to start learning new names. I'm ready to see how the left field wall plays out with the new deal. I'm ready to see McCartney in between Ravens homestands. I mean, Oriole homestands. And it's just not, it's not going to be there. It's just, there you go. How dreadful.
The reason I love this picture, because I think it's like Ebbets Field or the Polo Grounds. An old stadium, obviously, out in center field. Sure. It may be Tiger Stadium, because Tiger Stadium had seats out in center field like this. Could be. I have to take a look at it. But either way, this little boy here and the hat, like, it reminded me so much. I was the team bat boy in 1973 for the Colgate Pirates. My dad's baseball team won a championship. And I have a picture in the Dundalk Eagle where I look like that kid. And, you know, like, I was the little kid in the front where the uniform didn't fit me and the hat's over my head. And I got the little bat boy bat and whatever. And I saw myself in that picture. And it got me emotional. It got me emotional about, like, I have been frozen out for 16 years from a press pass. This guy's owning the team. His kid's showing up for Zoom press conferences. And his name's on my university down in Baltimore. And there's no say. The Baltimore Orioles are locking you out. They're one of 30 partners. You should be pissed at John and Lou and Peter Angelos. You should have questions for them about what's going on. But there's no ticky. There's no – there's.
You can't ask.
There's nobody to ask.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of them on any news show, question and answer. There's like no – I mean, didn't BAL take over the Orioles now? Is that what I saw?
Yeah, that was a big announcement. Remember?
Yeah, right, a big announcement. But I haven't heard a thing from them about this, about a sit-down with these guys saying what's going on. I haven't heard from the players. I haven't heard from the team. And that picture to me is my inner child. It's not me as a kid. It's me as a 57-year-old man going, you know, that's what it feels like. You're like little kid inside of you. Because I'm only 57, man, when I see myself on Zoom or look in the mirror. All the rest of the time, I'm just a nutty kid. You know, it's troubling. It's disturbing. And it's sad that these guys can't get this straight. And I just read recently, they're talking about more rule changes, right? More things they're going to do to the game to make it better. Well, just how about having it? Who cares if there's a pitch clock? Who cares if there's a DH in the National League? I didn't see all the other changes they're proposing, but who gives a damn if there's nobody on the field? We got rule changes that are going to make this game better. No, how about making the game happen? That would make the game better.
And then Raskin is here, man. Raskin Global, speaking sense is what you're speaking.
Oh, a great quote from somebody, again, social media guy said, are we going to have to watch Korean baseball on ESPN again?
It's not a bad brand of baseball. Let me ask you this. And this would be something, this is a little Dundalk in me coming out saying, more money, more problems, right? I mean, like, my dad in 1981 was like, they got plenty of money. Why don't they figure it out? Back in 1994, there were owners crying poor. Luke and I talked about this today. Everybody's making money in baseball. Like, they've been printing money. The Angelos family was making $150, $200 million a year in profit at the beginning of this, when the Massentitty got turned on for them and the milk started to flow. Now the milk's not flowing anymore. The Sinclair boys and the Smith boys are all bought in on these RSNs. The RSNs are a bad investment. Again, I can show you the picture of me cutting all three of my cable boxes and the joy that I had. I almost want to go down there and give them back to them again on a sunny day, so I can take my mask off and take a better picture. But there is a point where when there is more money, see Putin, right? See whatever. This is when wars start, is when there's something to fight over. And they've been fighting over this money and over this power for 5 decades. And the players beat the owners up for a good 3 decades. The last decade or so, the owners are now getting
theirs
gambling
back.
They're getting these garages and areas of land that are sort of adjunct to where the stadia are, and they're printing more money. The Cardinals are doing that with their bar. The Cubs are doing that. The Braves. I don't know whether the Orioles are going to do that. Probably depends on who the governor is. But when there is more money, there's more ability to fight over it.
Yeah, and you know, look, we could talk about what I do. I will tell you that in estates, when somebody passes, you find out the relationships that the kids have, because I've seen I've seen the states end up in court in ugly, ugly battles. You stole from
me. I have three friends that I can think of off the top of my head where brothers and sisters don't speak anymore. And, right. And to your point, it always seems to happen when Mr. Benson dies with the Saints and there's $1 billion that everybody's fighting over, or Jack can't cook, right? I mean, the reason Dan Snyder has screwed up the Washington, whatever they're calling themselves, is because the old man died and didn't sort out his affairs. And right. We may have the same issue with Angelos, with the kids, right? So if Lou and John were fighting over who wanted to own the team, there'd be a hell of a cat fight in the end for that. And absolutely. To your point, you always see this when there's money, right?
Absolutely. And it's sad. It's sad. You know, we have cases, I will tell you absolutely without question, it has no effect. The matriarch, patriarch, they pass, the kids are in line, in alignment, they get along, they understand what the parents wanted, and things are great. But I can tell you story after story where dad leaves the farm or dad leaves the business.
Or and dad has a heart attack at 46 without a will, right? Like literally.
Yeah. And you got this part and I got that part and I should have that part and I should have more of this. And oh man, like you said, siblings that don't talk. I've had siblings try to put their siblings in jail for things that they say they've done and theft from mom and dad. And it is heartbreaking and gut wrenching. And here we are with a whole lot of money and it's bigger and stronger and worser and the same. And the kids are getting it and the grandkids don't know what's going on. And that's the fans. The grandkids are clueless and they're just getting jammed up and they don't have anywhere to go. So there's no baseball. There's no football. The good news is the Capitals are playing good hockey again. They're getting healthy at the right time. The Stars are coming back to the team. Their power play is starting to score goals. And if we can keep this up, through the end of the season, we could actually shock some people in the playoffs and have a nice Stanley Cup run, which would be good to see them not get knocked out in the first round.
By the way, Ovechkin got a lot of explaining to do, don't he?
So here's what
when you work for the Russian government, you work for the Russian government.
Here's what I would say about Ovi. A couple things, and I'm not 100% sure on this. You may know better than me. My hunch is, first of all, he's got family there.
Yeah.
So you got to be really careful.
My hunch is he has a personal relationship with Putin in a way.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
In a bigger way than we just take pictures together. Look, because he is their most famous export, literally.
The most famous Russian
in the world.
Sports figure in the world.
Oh, this side of Putin. All these oligarchs who have all of these boats, we don't know what they look like.
Ovechkin's
the most famous Russian in the world. Maybe the chick from Pussy Riot, but I just like saying Pussy Riot.
He's the most famous export from Russia this side of Stolynaya.
Which we're not drinking anymore.
Well, they're changing their name. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the founder of Stolynaya.
They're going to say we're from Texas?
No, he's what's the word? He was shot at. What is it? Oh, my God, help me.
He was banished.
No.
He defected.
No. He was sent away. He was sent away. He like escaped. Yeah, he escaped. And
he's a fugitive. What do you call a Russian fugitive? You call them an expatriate.
American. Right. But anyway, he's kept the brand. He's kept the brand name because of its symbolism and it's Russian vodka, so it's special. But he's changing the brand name. He's going to change the whole company because his vodka is being spilled out all over the country and all around the world. So Ovechkin is really famous. Ovechkin, I'm sure, has a significant relationship with Putin, and he's in a really hard spot. You know, what are you going to say? We shouldn't be at war. And then his family gets hurt. He's got ties there. He's still a Russian citizen. He's not a U.S. citizen. There's lots of tough ties there for him, no doubt. And I think it's stressing some of his play. It's clearly on his mind. The good news is he's scoring again, but man, there are guys in the league that don't want him to be able to play. They want him to be sat because of it. And that's a harsh reality that he's going to have to deal with as the season goes on. If this war goes on, the camera's going to be in his face every time they're on TV other than local.
By the way, when he played for Trotz, there was a point where Trotz and I were having a beer at Michael's in Timonium, which also a great crab cake. Stop by, see Steve, stop by, see Kelsey and everybody there. We were in there doing the show, 8 weeks before the playoff run, probably March I remember this time. It was this time, the 4 years ago when they won the cup. And I remember saying something flippant because Trump was running the country at that point, and Trump was pulling whatever shit he was pulling with the Ukraine and whatever was going on. Trump was in the news and Russia was in the news. And I said to him, I said, there's going to come a point where it's not going to be so good for him to be Russian. You know what I mean? Like I said to him, his Russianness is not going to be attractive at some point, because at some point Putin was going to go in and blow stuff up. Putin didn't make those tanks and those bombs to not use them. And this has really been a treacherous 10 days, hasn't it? I mean, this has really been sort of eye opening as to what power and bombs and war and money and dirty money and Russian money and questioning the last 30 years of all of this, right?
I would say there's lots of dirty money in politics in a lot of places, and we don't need to go there on either side of the aisle because it's everywhere.
But it's different when it comes from Russia, though. It comes with a different level of expectation.
When it's one man in control of everything and he gets to say what happens and you don't, and if you say something against what he says, you go to jail, that's a bad day.
Or you get pushed off the balcony.
I was going to say, or worse yet, you get poisoned or you get knocked off somewhere. So that's bad stuff. I get it. And how you handle this, I don't know. That's above my pay grade for sure.
Tell you on the hockey side that the NHL went into business with the Russian government 30 years ago to allow these players over, in the same way that Castro never let anybody leave Cuba, right? Like that's why Omar Linares didn't hit 625 home runs in Major League Baseball because he wasn't allowed to come.
You got the NBA. They're not in with players, but they lay in bed with the Chinese government in a big way. You'll never hear You'll never hear an NBA anything talk a negative word against China. You had the coach last year that did that, and he got in big, deep, ugly. You got a player this year that said something, and he's basically been banished from the league.
Hey, have you seen the professional wrestler? Is it John Cena?
Okay.
You know, John Cena? John Cena took a stance against China by saying the word Taiwan or something.
Yeah.
And then had to, per his movie people, made him apologize in Mandarin.
Yes. And they pulled parts of the movie because they wouldn't show it over there unless he did. And let's face it, baby, that's big money. When you have that and you talk power and big money, you know, it's insane.
Well, this is going to be a question for American money and people like you, who people are going to say, is my money advancing the Cuban cause? Is my money advancing Russia? Is my money taking care of good interest in Israel? I'm sure you have clients. Like, everyone is going to be asking where their money's going.
And
here,
rightly so.
I think.
And rightly so. But what's interesting is, you know, we get back on the war thing. From an economic standpoint, short of oil, Russia is a pimple on the back of the world's economy. Russia has nothing but oil. Now, that's a big thing. And they're a major exporter, but they have nothing. The world, if you look in your house,
nothing's made in Russia, right?
You don't pick something up and go, oh, made in Russia. No, but I got news for you. You see made in China, made in Taiwan on everything. And if that hits the fan, we are in deep caca, my friend.
I was in China, they gave me, and I talked a little bit about this last week. I did a great segment, by the way, with Dave Scheinen. Dave has covered 9 Olympics now for the Washington Post. Dave has been my friend for 30 years. Dave lives in Baltimore. Dave lives in Butcher's Hill. I've been on Dave's porch during the plague having a beer with him and his wife. He lives in, you know, Upper Highland Town, as we call it, by the park. Yeah. But he's a Washington Post guy. He just got back from China and was locked down for 35 days, masked. Robots bringing him food, all of that, right? And I asked him about all of that, and he went to China in 08. I went to China in 07 with Ripken. And when I went over there, they gave us a little handbook, and literally the State Department had a little seminar with us. Literally, they had a seminar with us the 15 of us, saying things you do and don't do. The one thing you never, ever, ever do in China is say Taiwan. That there's nothing more offensive to them than saying Taiwan.
And you don't speak against the dear leaders. You know, that this is grounds for major punishment. Look, Nancy Pelosi last month instructed the Olympic team to say nothing, to speak out not one bit about their experience while in China. You know, when you get home, you can say what you want, but you dare not speak out over there, which is kind of terrifying. It's terrifying.
Well, Dave said that when he went over, the media instruction was burner phone, that they will attach to your phone the minute you get there. And then when you get there anyway, they attach to you because of COVID. So they knew every move he was making. He's being monitored at every moment. It's a different life than what we're used to over here. And when we're seeing Putin just drop bombs on people in the Ukraine with a middle finger flying, this is what I talk about with true evil, true power, and money, and the ability to do whatever he wants to do. This is something we're unfamiliar with in America.
That's right. And you can believe what you want and you can party what you want, but there is no greater on display moment than the value of the Second Amendment in America than this. You have a government over there in Ukraine handing out automatic weapons to people to shoot Russians, to protect their homes, to protect their country. And you can look at the world at large and look at the largest standing armies. And in America, you've got gun owners. And there is no question that this would bring America together. And I would never want to see a thing anywhere close to this. But you talk about left and right and middle. If somebody came to try to take this place, there'd be some gun owners that would be ready. and over there,
I don't know what you do when there's tanks and planes dropping bombs and you can't defend yourself.
You can't do a thing. Look, we clearly have a defense, so we needn't worry. There's never been a war here except for the one we perpetrated on ourselves. And there's a reason for that. It's because we can defend ourselves and we can fight back in a massive way. But you talk about investing. You know, we don't have clients' money in Russia. We don't have clients' money in China. We don't have clients' money in Cuba, Venezuela, et cetera. We deal in countries.
Because it's not stable, right? Literally.
Right. You have to have good law. You have to have a stable economy. And you've got to have a system where you believe in the data that you're seeing. And none of those have that. And you have nationalization risks. I heard a great joke the other day. What's the difference between a dollar and a ruble?
Go ahead.
A dollar. That thing is worthless. There's no value on the world stage. The Russian stock market's down 90%.
And Leonard, talk to me a little bit about that. And last Monday, Leonard Raskin is here, Raskin Global. I love talking money with Leonard because he's got such wisdom. You can learn more at raskinglobal.com if you wish. Last Monday morning, I woke up, and it was a dark weekend, right? I mean, bombs are going off. You're wondering, Zelensky's alive. Is he dead? You're going to bed at 10 o'clock at night, realizing it's 5 in the morning there, and all night long there's been bombing and all that. But Monday morning when I woke up and I saw the rank and file, and I've never been to Moscow. I've never been to St. Petersburg. I've been invited. I've had chances. I kind of regret not going now. I'm happy I went to Beijing when I went, but I regret not having gone with my pal to St. Petersburg 20 years ago when he went and invited me. I saw rank and file people, and people here have a thought that like in Moscow, they wipe their backside with their hands, right? It's not that. They have buildings, they have elevators, they have cars, they have gas, they have money, they have banks, they have shopping, they have lots of shopping, they have food, they have borscht, they have vodka, they have beer, they have Levi's, they have Coca-Cola, they have everything. So people think it's a third world country or something, but I promise you, if you went to Moscow and stayed at wherever the Marriott probably didn't do business there, but wherever you stay, it's nice enough that if you show up to get on the subway and your Apple Pay doesn't work, your Google Pay doesn't work, your phone is rendered useless, your bank account is useless, there's a run on banks. I hope you had some rubles under your mattress, but even if you had 1 million rubles under your mattress, now you have 100 because it's worthless. This is something that in 1929, I know we had an issue in the late 80s where we had stock market literal crashes. We have inflation. People are pissed about paying $4 for gas. I get it. I'm hearing it all day on farms. What's that?
Wait till it's 7. Go ahead.
Well, fair enough. But where we are with an economy completely crashing, and you and I talk about should I invest, should I not? And you're like, hey, if the money's in the market and the market goes away, we're on fire. The whole world's on fire.
Yep.
Their world was on fire on a Monday morning where you're a Moscow citizen. You're being lied to by your government. You've just raised your family. You love your beautiful daughter, your beautiful son. You sent them off to wherever for school or whatever. But you show up to do whatever your job is on Monday morning last week, and nothing in your world functions anymore. none of your money works anymore. When we talk about smoking out Russia, and we talk about hurting Russian citizens that are going to be victims. I mean, these people in Ukraine are getting bombed. The people in Moscow and St. Petersburg, they have a whole different thing going on. Yep. Speak to that a little bit, because like that is your worst nightmare. And it's something that you, quite frankly, haven't spent a whole lot of time thinking about. And when I talk to you about it, you're always like, I don't worry about the end of the world, because the end of the world, when Coca-Cola and Walmart and Amazon don't have stock anymore, none of us are going to be eating. Well, Moscow's experienced that last Monday, and it's crazy.
It is. And it's getting worse every day. Visa, MasterCard, American Express pull out. Like you said, Apple pulls out. Your stuff doesn't work. You're now foraging for food. The problem is, in general, though, we got this phenomenon going on. You and I don't recognize air, right? Unless we have a chest problem, we don't recognize air. We live in the air. Fish don't recognize water. You couldn't explain if a fish was able to be explained to, you could not explain water to a fish. Right. It's their condition of living. And you can't explain lies to a Russian because it's the only thing they know. It's the only thing they know. So the problem is these people over there believe what they've been told for their entire life. And what they've been told is that, for instance, in Ukraine, that the leader is a Nazi and that they're killing Russian people that live there, and that we've got to take care of this. And if you've heard that your whole life and don't do any research, because there's no research to be done, and now the internet is shut down on top of that, and you don't believe the other information anyway, because everybody else is lying to you except Putin and the Politburo. They're the only ones telling the truth. Now you're wondering what the heck's going on. And there are absolutely people taken to the streets saying, this is unacceptable. This has got to change. We got to get on this. The problem
but
is,
when the world locks you down, no one's ever seen anything like this.
No, literally, and the problem is, look, this is the first war, real war, if you will, that's a TikTok generation. That's a Facebook war. This has got people with phones that have the ability to see information protesting. And you've got the government saying, you shall not. They're rounding up everybody and anybody they can that's protesting. But if this word gets out, you know, this is his greatest problem. If Ukraine doesn't fall quickly, and it's been a couple weeks, hasn't been a month, people are all spouting that, he's bogged down. He's way past his deadline. I don't know what his deadline is. I don't know if anybody knows what his deadline is, but it's only been a couple weeks. And if it takes long and people start getting starving, start getting hungry, start getting no electricity, start getting whatever. Although, you know, the fact is there's the dirty empire. And right now we could see the Chinese government come in and bail out the Russian government, because China's got lots of coin. And they could bail them out for a very long time and keep things going so that it can all be a happy communist continuance. Although Russia's really not communist. They're really just despot controlled. I mean,
it's a non-functioning gangster state, right?
It's not a communist country anymore. The government's not in control of the means of production and equaling up the people poor. The government is everything. They own everything. I mean, Putin's probably one of the richest, if not the richest person on the planet at this moment, but nobody knows what he has because there's no reporting of what he has. But he's been stocking dollars and coin and grain for a long time, and he can weather a pretty long storm. It's a question of whether or not he helps his people weather it. The military will be fine. The oligarchs will be fine. But the average citizen there, if they start to revolt, could be a major change. And that's what the world is clearly hoping.
What are we going to do with all these yachts we've seized? You and I going to get a ride down to the Bahamas in one
No, I think that's going to be the next Clinton yacht or Epstein yacht or Biden yacht. Maybe Hunter Biden will get a new yacht to go with his art. That's what's going to happen.
Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global and RaskinGlobal.com. He gives advice on money and the American dream, not the Russian dream or the Chinese dream or the Taiwanese dream. And it's certainly on a day-by-day basis, everyone I know like you that's been in the market, this has been a little shock to the American markets. We talk about war and all that. I don't know that anybody was mentally or financially or psychologically prepared for what would happen here, that we would shut down. Like all of this has been a little without a playbook, right?
No, you can't be. And the fact is, when it comes to the market, it's more and more proof that it is impossible to predict the future. You don't need to go. I mean, there are so many instances where people think they know what's coming. And my statement is, man plans, God laughs. So whatever you believe, you can believe. But there is no predicting the market. There is no predicting the baseball owners. There is no predicting who the Ravens are going to draft. Things happen. And when life happens, news changes and markets move. And so you've got to be in it for the long term. You got to be a long-term investor. You got to protect your powder. You got to have liquidity for emergencies, and this could be one. You got to have protection for your family because things happen. And then you can invest for the long term, and you set it and forget it, and you rebalance, and you make sure you got the right portfolio, because you never know what's coming next. From where that curveball's coming, it's going to hit you in the head and knock you down, and you better be ready for it. That's what we do with people all the time. We help them achieve what they want to by protecting what they have to and making sure they're ready for the who knows what, because it's always coming. That's what the bottom line is.
Never prepared for the war or the plague or the famine or the storm, but Leonard, I appreciate you, man. Great conversation today in regard to all things Russia and current events. And we even began with some baseball. And there's more going on in the Ukraine than there is a baseball negotiations. I promise you that. I'll see you next week. Looking forward to it. And a little March Madness next week. And come on over and have a crab cake with Server Costas watching basketball.
All right? Do it. Absolutely.
I mean, Leonard Raskin. You can find him at RaskinGlobal.com. Lots of wisdom, information, a whole 101 up there about what to do with your money. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Having those wise conversations around here as we're always doing. Busy, busy week here as spring has sprung. Combine is over. We're getting ready for the draft as well. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.